1 Peter chapter 4. I wish all of you folks had your Bible. I'm sorry we don't have it on the screen for you because, well, I just didn't get with anyone to do that. But, you know, there's something special about having your Bible in your hand anyway. I don't know about you folks, but I really appreciate being able to look up and see it on the screen. But there's just something special about being able to look at your Bible. But I wish you had your Bible with you this morning. But in any event, the verses I'm going to be using are so familiar to you that you don't necessarily need it. I'm just picking up where Peter is addressing believers as to how they should live their lives. Chapter 4, 1 Peter and verse 3. Peter says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." And then, of course, when you come to verse 4, Peter's talking about the way that the old friends might treat believers now. He says they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Some of us experienced that when we got saved. Our old friends, of course, were, in my case, drinking buddies, and they didn't want anything to do with the Lord. And after I got saved, they didn't want much to do with me either, because I wanted to talk to them about the Lord. And but sometimes people will talk, say bad things about you and talk evil of you after you come to know the Lord Jesus, and just, you know, turn against you because you've begun to live your life for God. But in verse 5 tells us that these people are going to give an account to him who's ready to judge the quick and the dead. So God will take care of all that kind of thing. But you notice if you're looking at your text, there are four words right there near the end of verse 6 that talk about living according to God. That word "according," of course, in the English version or rendering, is a kind of a long word, "according," but it comes from the Greek word kata. It's a little four-letter word, K-A-T-A, and kata means down, or it has the idea of domination. So Peter, he's just referring to the believers living the kind of life that is dominated by God. The kind of life that's dominated by God. So the heart of my message today will be how to live your life. And of course, I'll be speaking from a philosophical point of view, not so much a theological point of view, even though in saying that, a person's philosophical point of view and theological point of view really should match. They should always match, come right into line with one another. And I guess some of you, most of you probably know that philosophy and theology do kind of go hand in hand. Philosophy is oftentimes called the handmaid of theology. And that just means that philosophy serves theology. Theology is made up of two words, theos and logia. Logia is a form of the word logos, which is the word. Remember, in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. And the logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So theology, theos is the word for God, and logia then means a study of. So theology is a study of or a word about God. Now, if you're talking about theology proper, well, we'd be talking about God's being. His attributes, like, you know, his omniscience and things like that. But if we were talking about theology just in general, we'd be thinking about everything that relates to God. And that's generally the way we think about theology when we use the term. Things like his creation, his plan for the ages, his providential workings in the lives of the revelation of his word, all that has to do about God, what he does, and what he does. Philosophy is also two words, phileo and sophia. Phileo, as you know, is one of the words for love, and sophia is the word for wisdom. So philosophy then really is just a love of wisdom, and it has to do with how a person thinks about whatever. And whatever the subject might be, each one of you has a philosophy about it. It's how you think about that situation. And for instance, if you take Brother Wayne, we'll use him, we'll talk about him since he's not here. I like to talk about people who are not here. And so Brother Wayne is our pastor, and that means he has a philosophy of ministry. All of his education and everything, and Bible study and all of that, and working of the Holy Spirit in his life has brought him to the point where he is, to where his thinking is and relates to church ministry and so forth. He has a philosophy of ministry. He also has a philosophy of missions. He has a philosophy of family life and a philosophy of what we call sacred music. I haven't talked to Pastor Wayne about that, but I am pretty sure, and Brother Wes would be the same way, there's probably some music that they would not allow to be used here in the church, because this is a God-honoring gathering, and we just want to use those kind of songs and so forth that really do honor the Lord. So a philosophy might be called a person's point of view, and everybody has one, regardless of whatever the issue might be. But when it comes to the connection between theology and philosophy, well, it's okay to use philosophy if it's true to theology. And what that means, and what I mean by that, is this. You can hold your view, whatever it is, and you can even express your view if it corresponds to God's view. You know, and this really does, it touches everything in life. If you just give it some serious thought, you'll see what I mean by that. But it's at that point where you diverge from God's view that your view becomes heresy. The word hieresis is the word we get heresy from, and it's the word for opinion. Everybody's got an opinion about whatever. And as long as our opinion matches what God says, then we're okay. And our opinion's fine. We can express that. But when it diverges from what God says, then we're off into the realm of heresy. So Peter just, he's telling us that we should live according to God, or to be dominated by God. And that just means that your points of view about life have to line up with the way God says you should live your life. Now, here's the point. If your philosophy of how to live your life doesn't match the will and ways of God, then you miss out on real life while you're out there living your life your way. I hope you can see that. I know I'm not wording it very well, but hopefully the Holy Spirit will help to get that point across. And of course, there's always someone who says, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I've heard that. I probably said that, in years gone by. But, a person can live his life however he wants to, but he also has to live with the ramifications of his choices. And the Bible says, be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So how are you supposed to live your life? Well, from a philosophical point of view, my philosophical point of view is that you have to start by knowing God. You just absolutely have to start. I'm not talking about knowing about God. Everybody in the world knows about God. And a lot of people know about the wrong gods, which are really just demons in disguise, posing as a god for somebody to worship. The whole world believes in, some kind of god. I'm talking about the knowing the God of the Bible. And that's where real life actually starts. I lived 27 years not knowing God. And I lived and did my life and all those kind of things. But then I came to know God, and I began to experience real life, what real life is all about. But that means you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the way Jesus put it. He said, no man can come to the Father. Can't really have a relationship with the Father. But by me. You have to have a relationship with me. In order to have a relationship with the Father, you've got to know me if you want to know the Father. And then on another occasion, he said, I and the Father are one. So if you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, you leave God out of your life. And if you leave God out of your life, you have to live your life by your own flawed philosophy. That's where most everybody is, the unsaved world especially. Hopefully that would not be so true of Christians. But Paul put it this way. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if you don't get the foundation right, then you don't get the building, your life, right. And Jesus talked about how that the storms will come and great will be the fall thereof. The life is not stable. And the winds of circumstances and so forth can just blow it down and toss it around and that kind of thing. But if you want to live your life right, you have to start by knowing God. Most of y'all do that, but I just want to say, if you don't know God through faith in the Lord Jesus, we're going to have a little short invitation at the end of the message, and you just really need to take care of that. But what I'm trying to say here is that it's impossible to live according to God without knowing God. So number one, you have to know God. And number two, you have to develop a positive mental attitude about life. I heard a man say just this past week that life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how you respond to what happens. Isn't that good? I wish I had said that. Well, I just did say that, but I wish I had thought of that. That is so true. It's what life's all about. 10% of, what happens, and 90% of it is how you respond to what happens. Charles Swindoll said, a right attitude is more important to life than money. Most of us would probably take the money rather than the good attitude. But he's right about that. He said it's more important than education, a good attitude. And he said it's more important than what people do or don't do to you. Doesn't matter what people do or don't do to you, as long as you have the right attitude about it. And I know most of y'all have probably noticed that we live in a what I would call a pressurized world. problems and difficulties and worries and fears and stresses and all those kinds of things. And if you're not careful, those things can grab your mind and grab your spirit and just pull you right down, and they will take the life out of your life. Make you forget who you are. Some time ago, I started making myself a little list because I didn't want to forget. I call it a reality list. It's who and what I am. I'm talking about in Christ, because that's really where reality lies, in the Lord Jesus. Here's my list. I'm a child of God. I'm a totally forgiven person. I mean totally forgiven. You guys can't hold anything against me. God doesn't. I mean, Jesus paid it all. Totally forgiven. I'm a person who's on my way to heaven. Been on my way to heaven for a long, long time now. Looking forward to going on up. Sister Betty Birch went up to heaven the other day. Isn't that some, don't that just kind of give you the chills when you think about it? It slipped right out of this life and went on up yonder to heaven. I'm a person who is loved by Almighty God. God really does. God so loved the world, and I'm here in the world, so God loved me. Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for me. I am a man full of potential. Not so much now that I've grown older. You should have seen me when I was younger. Still potential. I'm one who is more than a conqueror. You see, Jesus says he just did everything for us and made us all who we are. But you know what all that means is, I don't have to worry. I don't have to let my life be consumed by worrying and all that negativity and everything. All the pressures and problems and stresses of life can't take the life out of my life now. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying a person can choose how he wants to think. We do it. But you can choose to think and be negative if you want to. I'm just here this morning to tell you that, folks, that is no way to live. I've seen it in so many people, and it's just, there's no life there. It's just all, you know, that kind of thing. You might say, but Brother Earl, I got to live with one of those negative people. I mean, and it just drains the life out of me. Kills my spirit. You know what I would like to tell you to do? Run for your life. But you can't do that, being a Christian and having taken that vow that said for better or for worse. What are you going to do when you live with somebody like that? Well, you just have to pray really hard. And you have to let him just be overcome by your positivity. Just be positive about everything. And when he, I started to say when he, it could be a she, when he or she, they want to know, why are you always so positive? Just tell them this: I'm a child of God, I'm totally forgiven, I'm loved by Almighty God, I'm on my way to heaven, I am more than a conqueror, and I am not going to waste my life on negativity. And I'm just talking about how to live your life, but you have to focus on the moment. Sometimes that's kind of hard to do because our minds tend to wander. Y'all are probably not like I am. I'm the worst in the world. I'll even be talking to God sometimes. And, you know, in my mind, and a little thought or word will come, and I'll just follow that on down a rabbit trail. And I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know? Our minds tend to wander on us, and if we're not careful, we'll live in yesterday or tomorrow, and we will miss the now life. You can't really live life yesterday and tomorrow. one's gone, the other hasn't gotten here yet. The only life we can actually live is the now life. Would I be right if I said that we miss a lot of life by living in a place that we're not? We really do. All of us are guilty of that. So, know God, develop a positive mental attitude, focus on the moment, and exalt the will of God. Make the will of God your will, because your will really doesn't matter anymore. Why did I say that? Well, you've been bought with a price. I mean, the Bible says you are not even your own anymore. And Paul said the will of God is this: it's good and acceptable and it's perfect. So, you know, the very best thing for a person's life is total surrender to the will of God. Most of y'all would probably agree when I said, we just want what's best for ourselves. Not me, Brother Earl. I want what's worse for me. Just give me the old best. No. We just want what's best for ourselves, but then we turn right around and do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. We should live according to His will. And I think that's what part of what Peter meant when he said, live dominated by the will of God, according to the will of God. So here's what I said. I said you need to know God, develop a positive mental attitude, focus on the moment, exalt the will of God, and develop good relationships. Pastor Wayne is really good about talking about that and helping us to develop good relationships, but we need to have good relationships, first of all, within the family. Folks, there are very few things in this world that can ruin your life more than bad family relationships. And you talk about taking the life out of your life. Why do you suppose God placed us in those family units? A lot of different reasons, I know, but it's in the family where life is nurtured. Family is supposed to just put life into our lives. And, of course, same thing's true for a marriage relationship. We're supposed to put life into one another's life. And let me just say it like this. Good relationships are worth whatever it takes to get them. Relationships really are what life is all about. And, of course, I could go on. We pretty much come full circle at this point. I started by saying you need to know God in order to live life right. Folks, that is the most important relationship that we can have. Get that one right, and, well, you can really live life then. Is it really right with God? You see, am I really letting Him dominate my life? Those things are not just theological concepts. They are that, but they should be philosophical as well, my point of view. That's the way I believe it. God needs to dominate my life. So the question is this morning, and I'm going to be very short. How are you living your life? Just think about that some as you go throughout the day. You have to start by knowing God through faith in the Lord Jesus. And I'm just going to say this. If you don't know God in Christ, now's the time to take care of that. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Looking out, I see older folks and younger folks and different faces. And most of you, I don't know. I'm thinking most of you are saved. Maybe you're not. You need to know this. Jesus Christ died for you. He really did take your sins in His own body there on the tree. And He paid for your sin debt. And it's as if He's saying, will you have me now? Will you have what I have done for you? Will you, by faith, receive me as your Savior? Salvation's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I asked Sister Ellen to play a couple of verses, so I'm going to ask that we just bow our heads together for just a minute. While she's playing, you don't need to stand. We're not going to sing. Are you sitting there this morning, and, well, maybe your life's all out of shape. You need to work on that, but maybe you don't know Jesus. You can't have a good life without Christ. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. You need to be saved. You should come this morning. We're just going to have a little silent period while Sister Eleanor plays two verses, and then we'll close.